yesterday, today, forever. That means that God is not arbitrary. He's not chaotic. There is he's faithful to his promise. He's faithful to his creation, to his people, to his covenant. He doesn't renege on his promises. Jesus Christ is the one in whom God's promise is fulfilled. And God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Consistent.
Are we saying that art is always art in the sense of the creed works or the poetry or painting or sculpture? Is it always in the sense of capture? Do you and make a universal out of something that should be an event, a continuation? I'm thinking like a lot of writers use the device of the expanded moment so that you not only see it, but you see it even longer than the real event, and so you're able to examine it and look carefully at all the things that went on. And it even takes longer to read it than it did to happen. So that slowing down timeline, it takes a photograph or a sculpture, you stop time all good. Is that, Jim, do you think that's an attempt to kind of
I would see that as the opposite. It's the whole slice of life thing. It seems to me is a peculiarly Western phenomenon and peculiarly modern phenomenon in art. I don't know if that's true or not. I think that it is. And when you take a slice of life, you can draw conclusions about the whole by looking at a concrete specific slice or event or happening. So it becomes a window. Well, it's not necessarily a universal, no. Science only operates statistically, and it seems to me that when you operate in time, you never have universals in the sense of totally universal. You never have absolutes. You only have, you work with percentages. You work with probabilities. And so that slice doesn't tell you about everyone, but it tells you about someone. I think that's an important distinction, but it does tell you about some. And maybe it tells you about a lot. But no, you can't claim that it tells you about everyone. You can only operate with universals if you begin in the supernatural realm and you work by deduction down to the concrete. Anytime you begin with time, events, happening, then you have to count. You have to work statistically along with probability. And that's what science is about. That's what the whole modern world is about. Does that make any sense?
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about all the things that anybody's ever said about Shakespeare still lives because of the universality of this story. And that isn't a slice of life. I mean, I can think of a lot of short stories that you can see in a moment for a slice of life that can fit. You can go back and read the Greek plays for that matter, or Shakespeare. Or you can look at Shakespeare. And I think I understand what Mark was saying about the timeless, or you said timeless, but I kind of think that.
Yeah, I think it's
different. But aren't different things picked up at different times? Kierkegaard wrote in 1950, and he was dead for 100 years. He wasn't discovered until 100 years afterwards. There are different moments in the history of mankind are different. Maybe Shakespeare, I can conceive of a time when people wouldn't read Shakespeare for 100 years. And then there would be another moment in time when the way, the concrete, specific way in which he talked about man and his relationships in the world and so on would again become timely, and then people would read Shakespeare again. It seems to me that happens over and over again.
Brave New World, remember, uses that word twice.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as
a universal.
They're only concrete.
I think that you are talking about a change in emphasis. You know, you may pick out one aspect of Shakespeare, you know, or maybe a piece of music has been forgotten and then later on rediscovered. But I don't think that you can say there's something very concrete about Shakespeare. What would that be? That is so concrete that you can say
Native woodnote wild.
Pardon?
I think his language heading is concrete.
What Milton called native woodnotes wild. He makes you aware of language.
That's the only concrete thing. I'd like to ask a question, though. I would like to know what people think in the room about why would we pick a subject like time? I would be really pissed. Why would they pick a subject about time to have to do with how do we respond to it individually, other than in terms of art or something of that nature? What other ways do we respond to time?
Time as threat, for example, was mentioned by really two people, specifically the scientist and the housekeeper. Time as threat.
I think also to the artist, isn't it?
How about time as
threat? I agree with the part about within the method.
Otherwise, the artist wouldn't create. If there wouldn't be just the simple thread of if, he wouldn't create something that would not die, which it has to die with the root of it. That there's something that is carved in marble, not disposable to the something that remains, something that maybe has not the universal. I don't think we know a thing about the universal thing, you know, but that is my concentration. but let's see, a spark of it, a part of it, not all of it. And in this perspective, time is, because we always ask, what will not die with us?
Aren't we really, though, wondering, though, what time is to us? Within our lifespan. I mean, that's what's really important to us. I'm not really particularly care. I mean, I'm not going to worry about it after I'm dead what's going on in time. I'm interested in what time means to me while I'm alive. And I wonder, what is my purpose for being alive? What am I to do with all this time? What is my goal in life? Am I just to exist from day to day? Am I supposed to take just the moment I can? Try to be happy all the time, I think we have to ask ourselves, what is our purpose for being here? What is our real goal?
We're supposed to do something important.
Yeah, that's not in your view. This being in time automatically means that you ask the question about time this automatically. Unless you live the life of a happy mother, right?
When we try to define time, it seems that we have to think of, for instance, time to me now is not the same as it was when I was a child. I think time goes very slowly when you're a child and very quickly as you get older. Also the situation. Sometimes 30 seconds is an extremely long time, and other times 2 weeks is a very short time. Depends on that. Another thing, part of time, I don't know whether time is related to events or events is related to time, but as we are increasingly bombarded by new and more complex events in this world, I think time is becoming more and more of a threat, or the events are becoming a threat because of the way in which they use our time.
Often, maybe this is getting off in a different direction, but I often think about life and death, and the idea that sometimes people die a horrible death, or that people get old and die. I can't imagine heaven being a place full of old people. Old people or people who were killed, see? That death is an aggressive, bad thing. And I think we tend to think, well, we find a different life, and then we get old, we die, and we're transported into heaven. I can't imagine heaven being full of old people. And I think that a Christian's point of view of time should be, you know, that it's a total thing, that you don't, you know, do things when you're young or middle age and you're getting old, but finally it's the life that you live in Christ, you know, that it's a lifestyle, and it isn't, it's a total thing, that I think God finally takes you to heaven as, you know, as a total thing, not how you were when you died, or how you finally ended it all. And I think I like to look at my life not as a sequence of events, but, you know, kind of a my life attitude, see, that is always young and fresh, and seeing God's world in a new way, momentarily, and all these fleeting things, and that it's, well, I like to use the word lifestyle because it, I think finally you have a lifestyle which is fresh and new and creative and curious and looking forward to new moments and new times, rather than kind of slowly giving up and retiring your life and, you know, doing things that old people do. You finally kind of give up your life. Really, it's, I think, to me, I'm kind of, this is kind of a personal witness, that finally you have a fresh new life, and of course I do it with art, and I think people ought to do it with whatever they do, and whatever you do, and whatever you can bring to life, and we can't all do the same thing, we all do different things, and we should all have a Christian lifestyle that transcends getting old or dying or getting ready to do the retirement thing.
Greg had a comment here, and he hasn't been able to get it in because he's a mild man over here a while back. You want to put it in?
Well, I think somebody else mentioned about opportunities.
All right. Okay. So you're satisfied. He's used his time here to put our hydro plant together just when we were looking for somebody to do something about it. Okay, up above?
Well, I didn't mean that time is more valuable or less valuable to young or middle-aged or old or whatever, but to my children, for instance, 2 years is a heck of a long time for them to wait for something. Or even, you know, an hour possibly sometimes. But 2 years would be a terribly long time. Whereas 5 years passes fairly quickly for me. Certainly quickly in comparison with when I was 5 or 10. Our concept, when we set out tonight to define time, and we have to talk about it in a number of different ways.
I have the same problem. Sitting here as a lawyer, instead I have a problem wondering what we're talking about. I always have a problem defining my words, but it seems to me that we're talking more a group of two types of things. One being time and history, you know, what's happening, what's going to be the effect on our lives, or that sort of time. Then another, what actually time is, like, if you're in space with nothing around, is there time? Does time pass? And to me, time has just changed. And so I can't live without time, because when I'm alive, it's always changed. And just trying to thread together the things we're talking about, it seems impossible to me then that God could be a timeless God, or that anything could be timeless. And I've heard timeless talked of as, when you're speaking of the Mona Lisa, the timeless work of art, it seems like, to me, that means it fits in any era. It just doesn't belong here and it's thrown out, or like Shakespeare, although it wasn't timeless, it seems that Jim seems to think it has periods of time where it fits in, but. And then timeless, where Wicker's used, some people think of God as timeless and changeless, which fits in with a different definition of time. Just changelessness, and it seems an impossibility to me for anything to be anything, any intelligence, or particularly a person, to be timeless. And then I don't understand the lady's comment across the balcony, which says, "I'm not going to worry about time when I'm dead." I'm not worried about, you know, time when I'm dead, because it seems like if there's a life after death or any kind of consciousness, then it has to be time.
I'm not going to worry.
Well, I mean, yeah, but...
I don't think there will be any worries.
Yeah, I'm not talking about worries, but I don't think anything can exist without time. It might not be measured, but it's there. It's a force, it's a concept.
I think that God created with purpose, and the world was created, the universe was created. I think we all agree that God had a purpose in that. I think that time is part of creation. It's sort of a ground rule which we have. And therefore, it's something we have to live with. And our challenge now then becomes, how are we best live successfully according to the purpose of God? Therefore, time would become a challenge in how to be successful generally. This would be successful in management of our time. I don't agree with you that there can't be something without time. I think time is just it's a box in which we think. And that's strictly a creative thing, and it's got to be timeless.
Well, I think that's maybe a problem over here about time. I don't mean time as something that's measured and worked with. But I think change is time. That's my definition of time.
Not change. It's all the same.
I think time is the word that man created, and time is the measurement that man created. And, you know, I think we try to bring everything that we talk about, everything we see, only on the level of what we think about. I mean, we even try to do that with God. We try to strike him out that he is exactly what he is. I believe there's a mystery to him we'll never understand, and we'll never capture in our measurement, whether it's in time, space, on our level of our mind.
I agree with that part. I think that's our problem.
Yeah,
what
I think we're going around with those things, you know,
we,
you know,
can't, you know,
we're trying to explain them.
Right, I don't
think we
explain time,
because the God of the Bible is the God who speaks. He's not a dumb God. The God who speaks. And we have, you know, the Word of God. And the God who speaks is a God who can't be spoken about. And the big thing about the God of the Scriptures is not that we can't say anything about Him, but that we can say something. And so, talking about him and saying what he's like and what he does is how the Christian faith is communicated.
Oh, I can't understand. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, so when you start talking about some of those things like God and time, that's something that is inescapable for the Christian.
But Jimmy, what happened, I think, when we started, when we heard this fellow up here talk about the purpose of God. Yeah, and also in the same paragraph was this idea of timelessness. And I heard the other two people commenting on this concept of the purpose of God, and saying that this freezes us. If we try to talk about the purpose of God, you know, and try to say that this is something which is established that we have knowledge about, that it's penetrating into, you know, and it is a sort of a timeless type of statement or an assertion, you know. It's an assertion that there is such a thing as the purpose of God that we somehow can speak about. And I must say, I don't think that, I think we get into trouble when we talk about the purpose of God, or even if we blithely assert that there is such a thing.
I think that if we don't talk about the purpose of God, let's forget the faith. Okay. I think that's what the faith is.
It's a tied to purpose, though. Yeah. That's the word.
I think everything you said, Jim, is I agree with. Only you should. I mean, you said the God speaks in the Bible, and so on and so on. But you should add after each sentence, you said, in time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, but if you say that is all of God, that you as a human being, even as a theologian, are in of God, then it's a pretty small God.
That's right.
And
well,
then
what
this contradicts that we can say we know.
That's what pagans do.
I agree with
restrictions
the key there.
Yeah, I agree.
But
well, that's the whole question.
But what the patients do, it seems to me that anytime you describe anything, in a sense, you're putting the restrictions on. God is not the limitless one. He is not the big cosmic shrew. He is, you know, is a terribly specific God in the Bible. He is not the great unknowable one. He is the one who has made himself known.
In time.
Yeah, right.
It seems to me that there's a specific way that we end with the time, although we usually like to avoid it, that is the fact that we are aging. And it's nice to talk about staying young at heart or young in mind, but every doctor-patient relationship is concerned with this process of aging in some way, and that it's inappropriate to more inappropriate for something to threaten you, or time threaten you, when you're 20 or 40 than it is if you're 85. And you tend to see people differently, whether that's right or wrong. And it seems to me that you can't say that we don't change, because there is change in life, not only from century to century, if we want to look at evolutionary studies, but in our own physical bodies. And I think that this is where our faith is quite specific too. We are born, and not only are we born, we're supposed to be born again. And I, as a child, I think as a child, Paul says, but when I grew up, I threw away all these things, which has its advantages and some disadvantages. And then there's death. And then beyond that is the resurrection, and death has lost its sting. So I think that I don't think things are exactly timeless. At least, I would like to hear somebody talk about this business of aging, because we don't. I think it's a reality. And as I heard that we try to, in religion, even skirt that reality by getting out of it into something that is more spatial, and we can then avoid the fact that things are moving historically towards something and from something. And that's true for us as individuals. Darwin said, I think, that ontology recapitulates phylogeny or something, which means that as an embryo, we were sort of like a frog at one point, and then a chicken at something else. And, I don't know if that's quite that accurate, but nevertheless, I'd like to hear some comment about, I think we can measure time, at least in the fact that we look different after 20 years go by sometimes. If there's some artistic or theological or philosophical statement that can be made from our group tonight about this change in ourselves, at least in our bodies, if we want to deny the fact that our minds don't change. But I think that some men have wisdom that they can impart to others, and have imparted to me, because they see a little bit more than I have.
Dick mentioned reality here, and in reality, which another doctor than Dick gives to me, or different for the gift, I did read this article in June, which excellent on this, but he's talking about I'm growing old. And it was fun. I was thinking about the same thing as I've been listening to something all around looking, but there aren't any old people here.
I'm about as old as anybody. My ex-neighbor over here is looking, but we don't